Kalo yeno palakshita. Tasya hanta gandharva. Gandharbhyo ratraya smitaha. Harantyayu parikrantya. Shashtutaras satachayam. Sambansaras chandavega. Kalo yeno palakshita. Tasya hani hagandharva. Gandharbhyo ratraya smitaha. Harantyayu parikrantya. Shashtutara satatraya. Vaishnavis. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Today is Friday, July 18th, 2008, which is the year of our Lord Chaitanya 522. This is Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 21. Spoken at the New Dwarka, Rukmini Dwarkadish Mandir, on the eastern side of the salt ocean, and the eastern side, I don't know if it's eastern or western of Ganges, but more or less opposite side of the world. So, and Sripat, Los Angeles, Sripat New Dwarka, where Prabhupada personally was giving his lectures. What was previously explained as Chanda Vega, powerful time, is covered by days and nights, named Gandharvas and Gandharvis. The body's lifespan is gradually reduced by the passage of days and nights, which number 360. Purport. The word parikrantya means by traveling. A living entity travels on his chariot day and night during a year consisting of 360 bracket or more days and nights. Life's progress is taken for the unnecessary labor required to cover these 360 days and nights of life. Dasensa Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 21. So here this verse, Narada is explaining the purport of his analogies to King Prachina Barhi, and this traveling is actually the travel through life. That's how we have a certain, every year it's about 360. In the solar year, of course we calculate 365 now. Approximately 360. And the lunar, it's about 355. So the average is 360. And this way, people are going through their life. Much of the activities they're doing, if they're not in devotional service, they're just unnecessary labor. So Lord Chaitanya was recommending that we perform yukta vairagya, that we engage all of our activities as a devotional service to Krishna. And by doing that, then actually we can transcend time. In the sense that we're not accumulating karmas, even though we're traveling. We're just accumulating sukriti or devotional service credits to Krishna. Now, people in the material world who are not conscious of their eternal relationship with Krishna, they're struggling day and night, doing their different labors to get through their achieving their desires in this material world. So in this way, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're sad, sukha dukha da. And this way, they're going through the year, it's like going through the different changes of the seasons. They go through their life, they're also going through the changes of the seasons. Sometimes they're young and healthy, sometimes they're diseased, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're frustrated, sometimes their family life is very pleasant, sometimes it's quite stressed out. And this way one goes through the different phases of life. And eventually, as I mentioned in the next verse, they reach old age, who is the sister of Yamaraj. And this way, so many unwanted things, unwanted difficulties are achieved. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he has been advising all his followers to do everything as a service to Krishna. This way we get a taste for serving Krishna. When we go to the holy dham, we get a taste. When we come to the temple, we get a taste. When we go to big festivals, we can get some inspiration. Here I'm seeing, I've been to Rath Yatra, never been to Snan Yatra. 1 year I have to catch that one. Fortunately, I've already committed to the Toronto Rath Yatra. They have the Snan Yatra is something Lord Chaitanya also celebrated, bathing the deities, watching, and in Mayapur we have also our 500-year-old Jagannath Baladev Subhadra deities. And when the people go for the Snan Yatra, then the many villagers, and maybe they're not all purely vegetarian, or maybe not all pure, in many respects, some maybe. But what they do is, the tradition there is they all walk down to the Ganges chanting Jai Jagannath and Hare Krishna and Jai Baladev and Jai Subhadra, and they keep marching. They go about 2 kilometers to the Ganges. They take a dip. They're carrying empty clay pots. They take a dip, brand new clay pots. And then they take a dip in the Ganges with their clothes on, fill up their clay pot, and they march back with the with wet clothes, men and women. And so since they took a dip in the Ganges, considered they're pure until they change their clothes and do something that's impure. At that point, they're pure, and so they come back and they carry this Ganges water, hand it to the pujari, he pours it over Jagannath, and they get some Mahacharanamrita. When they're marching, and there's sometimes even 2,000 villagers, Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! Jagannath ki! And on different, you know, little Jagannath mantras, and it's quite impressive, you know, to see that. And there they feed about 25,000 people. Everybody comes, even like many Muslims come for the Jagannath festival, Snan Yatra. At Mayapur, because the deity came in the previous pujari's dream and told him that I don't want to go on Rath Yatra, because Rath Yatra is to take me to Vrindavan, I'm already in Vrindavan, since Mayapur is new Vrindavan. Gupta Vrindavan. So that buddy said, you can do Snan Yatra. So maybe the biggest festival for Jagannath is the Snan Yatra there. I told you about the pastime that happened with Jagannath, I think about a year ago, where somebody threw his prasadam on the ground. No? I did. Because we're next to, like, Jagannath is right next to a Muslim village called Sardenga. And it's a Muslim-Hindu both, kind of mixed village, but many Muslims. But many of them come by to Jagannath and they bring a jackfruit or some basket of mangoes or some milk. We say, why are you bringing this offering? He said, well, we prayed for a child. We couldn't have one for 12 years. We prayed to Jagannath. We got a child. So now we promised him that we'll offer him the first fruit milk from all of our trees and cows. And so there's still quite a few like that, Islam, Muslim Jagannath deities, Jagannath devotees. So nothing completely unheard of. I mean, it's quite normal to see sometime a Muslim come into the temple. Otherwise, in Jagannath Puri, they don't allow even, you know, even us in the temple, what to speak of Muslims. But this time, some Muslim came with a big beard, and the pujari thought maybe he's another one of the Jagannath, you know, devotees from the Muslim community. And he came and offered him a prasad. The guy took the prasad and threw it on the ground. The pujari was shocked. He said, why you did that? I don't believe in these things. I don't believe! Okay, don't believe, then don't come. You know, why are you coming here, offending the prasad? For those who believe, they're welcome to come. If you don't believe, then why come here and commit offenses? So the guy left. The next day he came back, paid prostrate obeisances to the deities, and then he came up and begged the pujari, please give me prasadam. said, "What's wrong with you? I mean, what happened to you? Yesterday you threw the prasadam, so you don't believe. Today you paid prostrate obeisances, you're begging for prasad. Can you tell me what happened to you that made this change of heart?" Wanted to check if he's just a crazy or whether something really happened. So then he said, "Well, last night in my dream, these three came, and the one with the white face, he grabbed me by the neck. So I'm going to finish you. I'm going to beat you. You threw my brother's prasadam on the ground." And the one with the yellow face, with a smile, she said, "Yeah, finish him off." I was shaking. I was like, you know, so much shaking. And then but I was saved by the one with the black face. He came up and smiling. He said, "Oh, no, it wasn't that bad a thing. It just, you know, first time offense. So give him a chance." So he freed me, you know. So now I believe. I believe. I want to take prasadam. I'll never throw again. Now I believe in what are their names again? So like this, it was quite the talk of the town. I told this story last year. I went for the first time to Bulgaria. And there's the capital of Sofia. They also have a Gornitai and Jagannath Baladev Subhadradiri. So after I told the story, then the pastime, then I asked, "Do you have any pastime about your Jagannath deities? Or your deities, any Jagannath Gornitai?" And then they said, "Yes, we do." I said, "Well, what's that?" So actually temples should have some kind of a diary and record all the pastimes that happen with the deities. I don't know if you got one here. I don't know if anybody reveals what happens. Sometimes things happen, they don't tell anybody. So, and there some devotee offered the three pair of shoes to the deities, so they gave them the new shoes. But somehow Subhadra, she had only two left shoes, no right shoe. So after offering the shoes, after a few days, Subhadra came in the dream of the pujari and said that she's limping, carrying one shoe. He said, "What's this? You gave me two left shoes. I can't keep up with my brothers. Why? Can you fix this?" You know. And the pujari was like shocked. And it was a lady pujari, and she didn't tell the president, tell anybody. Just like, you know. So how could this be? Jagannath came in my dreams, and Subhadra there. And then after another few days, all three came in the dream. This time, Jagannath and Baladev were getting heavy with her. "Look at, why you gave my sister, our sister, two left shoes? How can she walk? Look at, she's still limping, you know. And so you gotta fix this. Otherwise..." Undisclosed, not otherwise. But anyway, that time she went right to the president crying, this thing happened. I don't know if Subhas Prabhu ever had to deal with these kind of issues. And so then the president quickly arranged a left shoe and a right shoe for Subhadra. After that, no complaints came. We had another, in Mayapur we had a situation, where there's so many, there's a whole book about it. But one that involved me, indirectly, somewhat. That one Swami came by and he was traveling around with a big Shila, Govardhan. So he put the Govardhan on the altar. He said, "Please keep this on the altar. I can't travel with it anymore with him." So they put the Govardhan. Their puja was going on. But after some time, Jagannath came to the pujari in a dream and said, "Look, since you put the Govardhan, he's a mountain. And he eats all the prasadam. He eats all the boga. He doesn't leave anything for us. Soon as the bell rings, sometimes even before, he just dives in and eats everything. We're getting really hungry and thin, you know. You gotta solve this problem." So they came to me as the president or co-director and asked what to do. It's not the normal kind of management problems we have, you know. The deity is taking from each other's. But their problem was they had only one plate, and so Govardhan just kind of ate everything before they got a chance. So the only solution I can think of is give Govardhan his own plate, put a little mountain of rice on it, so he's happy. So they started doing that and no more complaints came. Two plates, one for Govardhan, one for everybody else. Second of all, they said they didn't have any problem sharing it. You have a gober down here? No, okay, no problem. So like that, they say actually every deity, of course, they're the same Krishna, but they're like different avatars. So they have a Lila Vaichitra, they have their different pastimes. So somebody has some kind of pastime. They could report it. Who should they report it to, Swas?
Say it again,
Raja, I was
distracted.
If they have a pastime they want that experience with the deities, who should they report it to?
Report.
Keep a... Because this is very interesting when things happen with the deities and the devotees, they reciprocate. I'm sure many things are happening, but maybe nobody is too shy to tell about it. In Melbourne, their biggest festival, one of the biggest festivals, maybe Janmashtami is bigger, but is the Snan Yatra also. And then they take the deities off the altar and their tradition, most places just the pujaris bathe, but some places everybody bathes. I don't know what the tradition is here. So that everybody come up and they give them an achaman and they all bathe the deities. And their jagannaths are unusual because they have feet. I never seen jagannaths with feet before. They have little feet sticking out on all the three deities. So you can touch their lotus feet. What they do also in Mayapur as well as there is after the Snan Yatra, then when they dress them and do the final aarti, then they make a really nice bhoga of all kinds of sweets and savories and different things, kind of and they put this hati besh, because the pastime is that in the Snan Yatra day in Jagannath Puri they put a hati besh where they have like a mask that goes over Jagannath where you see his, where he's got elephant head. He's Jagannath, the same mouth, smile, everything, but with a trunk. And also Baladev, he has a hatibesh trunk. And then Subhadra has a Padmabesh, where she has wearing a lotus face, like a lotus over her face. And I don't know if you do that here. There's no time to make a hat, but maybe in the future, it's really, everybody stays, waits around to see the, during the aarti, it's all time, you just see like for about half an hour, a little bit, and then after that they close and we take off the, there's some pastime that, some devotee was, a devotee of Ganesh, and he prayed to Ganesh, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Ganesh revealed that Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially Jagannath and Baladev. And so they came to worship, and at that time, Jagannath and Baladev took the form of Ganesh, the elephant, showing that Ganesh was also within them. All the devas are within the Supreme Lord. Some kind of a pastime, I don't know all the details, but... So that once a year, they have about 24 beshas of Jagannath. I think it's 24. And could be 26 or whatever, but something like 24. But I remember they have like for Ram Nomi, he takes the Ramchandra besh and he's holding bow and arrow. Sometimes you can get a tanka type of painting they have there. I don't know what you call their paintings, which has all the beshas around. So you get an idea, like when he's at the end of Rath Yatra, they put him in a golden besh, sona besh. So everybody comes and sees him dressed up in gold. I don't know if that's safe here or not, but... Let's build the Rath first. They have all these different dresses, but so... I don't know how many we use, I didn't ask, but... I know that after Snan Yatra to do the Hati Besh, and I saw that also in Melbourne. Of course, after the Snan Yatra, Jagannath takes a rest. He gets a little sick because the devotees bathe him so much, he gets a little bit of a cold. And then Lord Chaitanya, when that happened, he was feeling so much separation because they would go every day and have darshan of Jagannath that he went running to the nearest Vishnu temple, which was in Alalanath. And he just ran to see that deity. And all the other devotees running after him, but nobody could keep up. Then when he got to the Alalanath temple, then there's a granite floor. So he paid his obeisances before the deity, and he's feeling so much separation of Krishna, so much separation of Jagannath, that literally his body imprinted in the stone, melted the stone. They'd taken that piece of stone out and put it in a separate temple next to the temple, the Vishnu temple. Replace the stone with some other ordinary stone, and then you can go. That temple, devotees are allowed to go. When I first came to India in 1970, there wasn't many foreign devotees, so they hadn't put up their signals yet. So I actually went inside and saw the Vishnu deity. I went into the deity of Sakshi Gopal, paid a 5 rupee donation, I went right in. But now they're a bit strict. Prabhupada sent me down there to try to get the devotees' permission to go into Jagannath Puri. But because he said that since Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri predicted that his movement would spread all over the world, Prativite Achi Jatanagar Adigram Sarvatra Pacharite Hoyme Mornam in every town and village, and now the devotees were coming, since 500 years ago they didn't know who Lord Chaitanya was, but now they know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's disrespectful to him if he predicts he's going to make devotees all over the world and they come to see Jagannath. Then they, out of respect for Lord Chaitanya, they should let his devotees have darshan. That was Prabhupada's logic. But they were saying, well, Rupa Goswami didn't see, Haridas Thakur didn't see, so why should you see? Wait for the Rath Yatra, then you can see him. Then I went there. So I was sent by the administrator to go ask the Ramakrishna Mission. They said, this is out of our league. Go see the Shankaracharya. Then I went to see the Shankaracharya. And he told me a story about one devotee who was born in a non-Hindu family and how he was worshipping and chanting his whole life, and then somehow he died. Next life he could go in the temple. When you're born as a Hindu. So it wasn't too encouraging. And of course, there's been many Shankaracharya. I haven't tried the following ones, but that one was worshipping a Radha Krishna deity, very beautiful, like Radha Madhav, small brass deity. So I said, well, you're worshipping. Then he told me that, I said, you're worshipping Radha Madhav. He said, I am Radha Madhav. I am God. And I said, I got nothing to lose now because anyway, he's not given us any permission. So I said, but Radha Madhava are very beautiful, but you're quite old and graying. And he said, that's my Leela. I said, everybody has that Leela. So, we're reading here, you know, everyone, the sister of Yamaraj is old age. That's a Leela I think everyone like to miss. That would be something impressive if you stayed young, but you know, you're something like that. I got my first experience with Shankaracharya. Some Shankaracharya quite favorable to us, the Kanchipuram one. Of course, the one in Puri is one of the toughest ones. He even says, criticizes women and says, you know, that they shouldn't chant Vedic mantras and things. There's some women group that throw shoes at him. And that one anyway, but I don't know now who's there. But this Snan Yatra, that was something Lord Chaitanya, he was so happy when it was over. And with this Alalana Didi, they have a pastime that the Didi has a bird, has some like a kind of a scar on its chest. They say that history is that priest there had to go out for seeing some disciple or seeing some devotee, ask his son, had just taken Upanayanam, hadn't really been trained about the deity worship. So he asked him to do the deity worship, especially offer the boga. So he was bringing in the boga and asking the deity to eat it. But he was a small boy, really didn't know what the process was. When the deity didn't eat it, he got really upset, thought that he's not accepting his offering and started crying. And then the deity said, "What's wrong? So you're not eating my offering? My father said you'd eat it." So he said, "You want me to eat it?" He said, "Yeah." So he started eating it. Practically turned into a human type form and was eating the prasad, the boga. Then this was going on and the empty plates were coming back. So then when the father came back, the mother said, "Something's going wrong here. Something's unusual. The son's bringing back empty plates. Says the deity is eating it. So let me go and see." So then he hid behind the altar, and the deity was eating. There was some hot sweet rice or kheer or something. The father looked around, saw the deity was like off the altar eating. He gasped. The deity like got startled and threw some, and somehow some of the hot kheer fell on his chest, and he got some blisters. And he went back up on the altar. The blisters are still there on the stone deity. But you gotta get close to see it. Bring a binoculars. So Snan Yatra has a great tradition. For some people sponsor, that's an opportunity to sponsor kalashas and offer. Get the when I go to Melbourne, because it's the summer there, it's the mango and the lychee and the cherry and all these different things season. Then they I offer some chiradai. I did in San Diego, but so far Los Angeles never had me offer chiradai here. Take it whatever way you want. And we offered about 12 flavors, simple ones, simple. Like in Atlanta, we do 21, but then we did 12. We auctioned some of the pots, and they got $3,000 donation for the temple. Also San Diego, about $3,000. Atlanta, they get... We used to auction, it took too long, but so now they get people to sponsor the pots beforehand, and then whoever's... whatever pots are left, we auction. So... like that, observing these festivals is a way to get us inspired. When we do all these services for Krishna, then we're spiritually not accumulating any karmas, and we're in a karma-free zone. Maybe externally the body seems to be aging, but we're actually freeing ourselves from so many different karmas, and at the same time, we're getting an opportunity to do some personal service for the Lord. This is one of the great opportunities for people to get a very personal interchange with Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. The King of Puri is upset with us because we do Rath Yatra in different parts of the year, but he said, okay, he doesn't mind about overseas, but in India he wants us to do it all on the same days. We found that there's actually three different dates mentioned in the Skanda Purana when you can do Rath Yatra. So now we got three options that they could accept, but we tell them in the West it's not possible. In some places it's summer, it's winter, you only get permission at certain times of the year. That's another story, but this is a very auspicious opportunity. So as our year goes by, we go from one festival to the next. And we have so many opportunities to serve the Lord. And our every day is a festival. Just like Krishna in Vrindavan, he enjoyed a Nitya Utsavam, Nitya Mahotsavam. When he came back with the cows, and he'd go out with the cows. Everything was a festival. The Brajavasis would watch him. Where their hearts would reach out to him. So we come to the temple and we chant and we dance and we observe the different festivals, the daily festival and the Nitya Mahotsav, as well as the special festivals. And this way we can get so much purification. And we're reading a couple of days ago, there was a verse of how everyone in the Dhruva Maharaj section, but anyone who takes the responsibility to help the Dinas, they're called Adinanaths. Krishna's Dinanath, but also the other devotees that help the neophyte, help the new devotees. The Dinas, the poor, spiritually poor people, they're also Dinanaths, and by doing that, they get Krishna's special mercy. They get a ticket booked for them back to spiritual worlds. So like this, by going out and distributing books, by doing congregational preaching and helping the congregational devotees to practice Krishna consciousness in their home. All these, by especially greeting and giving some welcome to the people that visit the temple so that they feel welcome. All these things, they're like part of the Dinanath program, and they help to encourage people that they want to be part of this community, want to be part of this process of Bhakti Yoga. And of course here coming and getting prasadam at the Govindas or the Mahaprasadam, that's another way of bringing people closer. So that their journey through life can end in a happy ending, instead of having to see Yamaraj and his sister and everybody and all the Yama, what they're called, the Jora, the soldiers of Yamaraj. Huh? Well, they use another word here, Yamadutas. I was reading. But anyway, Yamadutas is one, but there was another word I saw here. I don't see it. Yanamasenas or something. But anyway, so they come and drag us back and get judged by Yamaraj. But if everyone's engaged in devotional service, Yamaraj gave out the order, hands off, devotees with the tulsi necklaces, chanting Hare Krishna, doing service to help other people in their spiritual life, and never tell lies, things. Leave your hands off them. They belong to Krishna. Hari Bol. So thank you very much. I have to run off to get to a Colombian visa. I may have a time. I have some Narasinga oil from the last Abhishek. I got more sponsors this year, so I made two flavors. Ashtaganda with the 8 medicinal Ayurvedic, and then a Pushpaganda, which is all pure essential oils. No artificial oils at all, no Bangalore perfumes, pure essential oils. At least that's what the people that sell them say. So anybody who wants Narasinga oil? Presidents first. Which brother is that?
Nakata.
Where's the
Good job.
I like it.
Nice.
How are you, Rice? Touring around America?
Yeah.
Giving some seminars?
Three, four universities and also other places. You are here for a couple of days.
We
are very fortunate to come here at a time and you are here.
You were here for the...
We were here for about 2 days. Today we are going to...
Where are you going?